Turn into Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 15. Joshua 2 and verse 15. And she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Message number 4 in our series in the book of Joshua. To understand these messages, you should listen to all. Much of this chapter is given to the conversation between Rahab and the two spies who were sent to spy out the city of Jericho before it was conquered. It was a strategy that God used to spy out before entry. In this conversation, we saw a confession by Rahab in verse 9, who said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us. That all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. This was our confession. It wasn't really naturally what happened. The king was pursuing the spies, but this was her faith. She did not see that. She saw what was coming. She saw judgment. She confessed. This confession bolstered 3 other graces that were produced by the Holy Spirit. One was conviction. And we said that conviction do not always lead to conversion. People get very oozy and a good message is preached, but that's about all. But God's elect will be converted. The one who God is targeting will be convicted, will be converted. Rahab was produced by the Holy Spirit. The others were a petition that led to conversion. Rahab said in verse 12 and 13, Joshua 2, now, having heard this, having felt the conviction, now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token. Young people, we talked about this morning, didn't we? A true token. Here it is again. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. A converted person has a deep interest in the lost family members. This is Christmas. And if you're laughing and licking up to your lost loved ones without giving them the gospel, you don't understand Christmas. Rahab cast her lot with the people of God. She did. Israel had the promises of God. They were the covenant people, not Jericho. Rahab did something similar to what Ruth, the Moabitish girl, did in the land of Moab with all the false gods. She cast her lot with the God of heaven. And in this world, that is what the Christian will do. Cast their lot with Jesus. With all the embarrassment that they will get, they cast their lot with the Lord. Both women, by the way, appear in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1. Rahab and Ruth. There are others that live a horrid life. Bathsheba. Tamar. Look at these women. All of these women were troubled by sin and sex. And God put them for all of us to see. That God forgives sinners. two other New Testament commentaries assures us of Rahab's conversion. There's no mistake about it. James 2:25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. God keep reminding us of the past character of Rahab. Wherever you read, Rahab the harlot. To be justified in biblical terms is to be declared righteous. The just shall live by faith. The justified people would live by faith. In other words, they would live faithful. You want to know if you're justified? How are you living? By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. We read that. For one not to perish, in biblical language, mean that they have believed on Jesus. Rahab believed that a Savior was coming. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This verse reaches all the way back to Rahab. I said to the children this morning, never look at the Bible chronologically. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it is the eternal Word of God. Because of these New Testament commentaries, we can conclude that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was available in the days of Rahab. So, the same marks of faith seen in Rahab would be seen in anyone today who has become converted. And I challenge you to check to see if these marks are in you. There's much deceit in churches today. There's much game playing today in churches. I don't know how we can do it under the clear light of God's word that is shed from this pulpit. Concluding our second chapter, I will consider four of these marks of faith that are given to us in the context. You have them jotted down just to help you. If you're taking notes, you can get a separate sheet of paper and follow them. First mark is saving faith seeks assurance of salvation. Saving faith will seek assurance of salvation. If my wife says to me, Brian, I love you. Or if I tell her, Marcel, I love you. Each one of us want assurance. They want to see tangible evidence. Don't fool yourself, Louise. You would know when somebody loves you. You would want proof, tangible proof of love. Saving faith seeks assurance. Salvation is not a decision that a person makes. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture says, have everlasting life. Not as the church says, but as the scripture says. The salvation of God is found in the scriptures. Or as Pastor Martin always say, that I copied, the salvation of God is the salvation from God. Still remember what he said. It's found in the scriptures. Too many willy-nilly throw up a prayer and think that they are on their way to glory. I have news for you. They have no assurance of grace in their lives or any apparent change in progressive sanctification as they continue a life of denial to live without change in the church. This was not the case with Rahab. Let's look at her carefully. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have. Deliver our lives from death. Now, be careful, because you don't be kind to get salvation. Don't understand this to mean that because Rahab showed kindness, God showed her kindness. It's the other way around. Rahab was kind because she was already saved. God was working in her heart. She demonstrated these things because of what God had already done in her life. So don't expect to be kind and expect God to pay you back for kindness. He doesn't. We have been kind to many people, and all we get is kicks in our butts. So let me clarify that quickly before I get any further. Rahab demanded an oath. Swear to me. An oath is only as reliable as the integrity of the one making that oath. Rahab sought an oath as a pledge of assurance. She wanted surety from the men that brought the message. Word of mouth promise was not enough, was not sufficient. In Rahab's case, it was two spies, the agents of God, that Rahab said, swear to me by the Lord. It was the Lord's oath. Swear to me by the Lord. An oath only as reliable as the person making it and the integrity. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. That's the principle. That's why God sent two. One could have come back and say anything. In the days of Rahab, there was no written word, as you and I have today. But today, you and I have a volume of 66 books. And Christians do not have to make this demand that Rahab made. We have the integrity of God's word. We have it. Do we seek assurance of salvation from the Bible? Do we read the Bible? How are you going to know if you are a child of God? How are you going to know? Don't expect assurance from the networks. Don't even expect assurance from your mind. Sometimes I get it, but my mind tells me I'm not a Christian. Today, the scripture tells us that the Lord has made an oath. The Bible says, for men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs, the elect of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God swore that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we who are converted, born again, might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon that hope set before us. We have fled, just like how the one who committed murder inadvertently
was told to flee to that city of refuge and was safe from the slayer of blood. Couldn't touch him because he fled to that city that God had provided. Christ is that city that I have fled to. With all of my sins, with all of my sins, fled to him for refuge. And God swore. God said to Abraham, and this is a remarkable thing to our Father, I by myself have sworn that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed, which is Christ. And in thee, all families of the earth, in Christ, all families are you in Christ. We have an oath. We seek assurance from the scriptures. That's where we go. The Bible says we have laid hold upon the hope set before us. Hebrews calls the oath of God an anchor of the soul. You know what's an anchor? An anchor stabilizes an object from drifting. You're one of drifters in the church. No stability. The anchor stabilizes. It secures the object. God made an oath to the Father of faith. That hope stabilizes our lives. Saving faith, brethren, seeks assurance from the scriptures, just like Rahab, from these two. Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. 1 John 5:14 and 15. What is it that Christians ask according to God's will? What is it? Well, we ask the same thing Rahab asks. We ask for salvation. Not a car or a bus. That is according to God's will. The salvation of your soul. Don't run out here thinking you even want to ask for a new house. We asked the same thing Rahab asked. We looked at what she asked. Show kindness to me. We ask for grace and mercy. We ask him to make us his child. He hears us when we ask. Saving faith seeks assurance. We want to know. I want to know. Well, it was Rebecca that went to God and says, Lord, if I be thus, why is this going on? If I am expecting this child that you promised, why all this rumbling inside of me? Two nations were in her. The world and the promised seed. And God says, two nations are in you. The struggle goes on today. If I am saved, Lord, why am I so? Why is this going on? Two nations. The promise is real. Brethren. So remember, first point. Saving faith will seek assurance. We have asked for an oath, a promise. And a professing Christian wants to know from the Word of God how they stand before God. And you should listen to your preacher. Because he may tell you how you stand before God. Otherwise, he's a bad preacher. If he can't tell you how you stand, he may do it individually, or he may do it from the pulpit. But you ought to know from the preacher how you stand.
before God. You want to know. The next thing about saving faith, saying is that saving faith is active. Saving faith is active. Verses 15 through 17. Let's move on. And she let down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. I don't understand this. She lived upon a wall. I guess those walls were big, thick walls, that her house was upon the wall. But this is also significant because Rahab was visible. And everybody knew what she was doing. She wasn't ashamed to be a harlot. You know, when you live a life of sin, you wasn't ashamed. You wasn't ashamed. You know, you wasn't ashamed to be coming in at 5 a.m. in the morning, Sunday morning, and everybody going to church. Sometimes you're coming in Christmas Eve night, and there's 5 o'clock service at the Anglican Church, and you coming in with your head down. Because of all the other people going to church. You're coming from a party. You were ashamed. But sin makes us ashamed. But Rahab was visible. And this is what most commentators say. But here, we see she let down the spies from off the wall. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, calls it a rope by which she let the spies down to safety. It can't be a thread. It can't be a needle thread, because you can't let down people on a thread. So it was a rope. The question is, where did this woman get this energy from, Jackie, to let these men down with a rope? I'll tell you why. Faith gives us energy to be active. Sometimes we get up in the morning, Pastor, I can't come today because faith gives us energy. This is a score. We drive 2 hours from Connecticut. Probably get up this morning early. You need to be commended. I don't know, you probably sleep in New York. Oh, you say you sleep in New York. Sorry. Sorry, brother. So why you come so late? Well, we gotta talk some more. We're not your business now. But faith gives us energy. And we see it all the time on the mission field. Where do you get that energy from to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get a bus from Sechuru to Harare that will take 5 hours? Faith gives us energy. She got the energy from God. There's a passage of scripture that said, "For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness." Romans 6:19. You know what that is saying? The same way and the same energy you use to serve the devil, use that energy now for God. This is what she's doing. Faith is active. A woman of her business attracted many drifters, but her life became changed. We're told that she led the two spies to safety by letting them down by a cord, which later became a signpost. Believer's faith is active. It's not docile. It's not dormant. Faith does good works. Rahab exercised faith in taking a great risk. And faith takes risk. Taking a risk in protecting the Lord's servants. The Lord used her faithful means to protect these men so that they can enter into Jericho and develop the kingdom of Israel. Saving faith is active. No one will be saved by good works, but a person who is saved will ensure that they practice good works. Ephesians 2:10.
for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them, live in them.
Alluded to another example of good works in the Old Testament last time. Ebed-Melech. Jeremiah 38, 12 and 13. Let me read it to you. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, another foreigner, another person who was strange to the covenant, said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under your armholes, your armpits. Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of their dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. This man had the energy to help up this poor prophet that was persecuted. He took him out. He risked his life. Jeremiah was cast into a dungeon by the king. And the Ethiopian helped him by rescuing him with cords under his armpits. Faith is active. It's not dead. Common kindness by the Lord's people to propagate the gospel. Verse 16, Rahab said, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. Remarkably, Rahab instruct these men. Faith give instructions and good advice to people. One commentator said, I'm not going to call his name today, as Rahab was used by God to help these two spies, the commentator said, those that are in the way of God and their duty may expect that providence will protect them, but this will not excuse them from taking all prudent methods for their own safety. God will keep us. But then we must not willfully expose ourselves. Providence must be trusted, but not tempted. Let me tell you something. A lot of us are scared of this church. We don't want to touch one another. But ever so often, we come down with the COVID virus. And I say to you, when you are out there mingling in the crowds, and some of you always on the street. I got a sister that she's always on the street. I warn you, if you are out there like that, protect yourself. Don't risk anything and bring it here. You're worried about here. This guy said, not necessarily here, it's not a problem. You don't trifle with providence. I think it was Persian, by the way. And these men, they knew God was going to protect them. They didn't trifle with providence. They followed her instructions. Some of you don't want to listen to me. The two spies rewarded Rahab. By the way, that is just extra. It's not in my notes. It's just a snap application, Brother Devil. So, you know, sometimes you have to make snap applications, you call them. Pastor Martin called it the immediate application of the Holy Spirit in preaching. The two spies rewarded Rahab with a promise in verse 17. We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. We'll be innocent. If you decide that you're going to make a swear, you're going to come out on the street, your life is at risk. Saving faith seeks assurance from the Word of God. God speaks to us from His Word. We normally hear it when we read it. We normally hear it when it is preached to us. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He has not left His people without a witness. Where do you look for assurance of salvation? Where do you look for it? In the decision? Can't look there. Many say they possess saving faith, but exposes themselves to very little of God's Word. Sometimes I see you, sometimes I don't. What are you doing? Not listening, not following, not seeking the Lord's Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word. Saving faith is active. It's not dead. It's not docile. It's manifested in good works, James. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Point number three. Saving faith has a point of reference. Believer's faith has a point of reference. Verse 18 through 20. Behold, when we come into the land, and notice the faith of these two spies. They said, if we come back, they didn't say that. When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home with thee. Not on the street, home with thee. In other words, they would be in a place of confinement. And by the way, that's the church. Many have made this scarlet thread to mean many things. You've probably read many books. Some say it represents the blood of Christ. But what I know is was a point of reference that the spies would take note of when they return. They would know, yes, I have been there. That's a check mark. This scarlet thread was not, as I was saying, a piece of sewing thread. It was a thick enough rope for her to let down these men by. It was an adventure similar to what happened to Paul after he was converted, where he was let down in a basket with a cord from off a wall. The same thing. Acts 9:23-25. Can't read so many passages. I may lose your train of thought by turning to so many passages. Paul was let down off of a wall through a window to escape, just like these two, from the Jews who were pursuing him. The scarlet thread was a mark of identity to distinguish Rahab and her household from all others in Jericho. And every Christian has a mark that distinguishes them from the world. You don't see it, but you see how they behave. You see that? And some Christians, there's no difference between them and the world. You hear a lot about the mark of the beasts. It's not a little mark. It's not a literal mark to look for. Don't look for an earring in my ear. I mean, some of a lot of men wearing them. That might be the mark of the beasts.
because I don't know what men do when wearing earrings. There ain't nothing wrong with that. There's a lot wrong with that. It's a mark of identity. You wear a ring on your hand, right? You wear one. That marked me as a married man. The devil people have marks. But God's people have them too. See, then faith has a point of reference. An identity mark. We look to Christ on his cross. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, this mark, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord Christ depart from iniquity. That's the mark. The Lord knows his people. We have this seal. Keep departing. Word is in the present indicative. Keep on departing from sin. Keep on repenting from sin. A mark certifies ownership. Sometimes I ask one of the brethren to certify this letter for me that I'm sending somewhere. And he has his seal on it. I hope it's genuine. The seal distinguishes him and distinguishes what I'm saying is true. Even though a lot of people lie and get a notary public to sign it. But that you're in trouble with the law when you do that. But God will not look for church affiliation. He would not look for baptism. He would not look for denomination when he comes to judge the earth. He looks for the Christian identifying mark. The scarlet thread. The invisible scarlet thread. Just as he did in Egypt, when he passed over the house or the houses in Egypt, we alluded to this morning with our kids. Those who had the blood applied to their doorposts, that blood distinguished God's people from the rest of the people in Egypt. The Bible says that when Pharaoh got up, every house had a corpse except the children of Israel. The mark. Saving faith has a point of reference. We look to Jesus. We look to the cross. We have the Holy Spirit. We depart from iniquity. You want to know if your faith is real? I give you 3 points. 3 simple points. That is historical. Joshua 2:19 continues, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house unto the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And he will be guiltless. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. If any hand be upon him. Brethren, we stay in Christ. We don't go out looking for any other gospel. The ark was the place of safety. Rahab's house, the harlot's house, became the place of safety, a haven for sinners. The church. God has ordained. And some of you make light of this church. Make light. Like your pastor don't know the scriptures. Like he ain't teaching the scriptures. God has provided a place. Don't go out. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, you will be in the place where Christ is. Your blood may be on your own head. Because you're not listening, you're going out on the streets. No, I'm not saying that. There's only one church that preached the gospel. There are not too many. Run up and down, run to and fro in the streets. And see if you find a man that execute judgment and mercy. Now pardon it. The days of Jeremiah was told, run up and down the streets. Couldn't find one man. Couldn't find one. But there was only one, and that's Christ.
Boy. The preacher Spurgeon in his morning by morning devotion said, to tie the scarlet line in the window was a very trivial act in itself. But she dared not run the risk of omitting it. Come, my soul, is there not here a lesson for thee? Spurgeon said. Hast thou been attentive to all thy Lord's will? Even though some of his commands should seem non-essential? Hast thou observed in his own way the two ordinances of believers' baptism and Lord's Supper? Spurgeon, the master. Trivial things he has commanded us. Church attendance. Prayer. Corporate congregational prayer. Trivial things. Spurgeon is right. That we don't attend to. Not obedient. You know who I'm talking to. You know very well. Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon go on to say, these neglected argue much on loving disobedience in thy heart. Be henceforth in all things blameless, even to the tying of a thread. If that it be a matter of command, this act of Rahab sets forth a yet more solemn lesson. Have I implicitly trust in the precious blood of Jesus Christ? End of quote. It's a long quote, but it came from the lips of a good preacher. And you have the book at home, morning and evening, that I took up. You read it. Do you meditate on Spurgeon's words? Many people spend more time on trivialities, and I talk about them. I call names. Steve Harvey is one. I don't have no time for that. And no wonder your life is the way it is. I call names because I know our sins. Stay away. Seek assurance from the scriptures, not from Steve Harvey. Trivialities. Spend more time on this than you spend on your knees. When the last time you knelt down for half an hour, oh, my knees get sore. They need to get sore. You cannot lose your footing on your knees or in the Word of God. Seeking the salvation of God. Saving faith. I've seen in the life of this Old Testament saint is seen in her seeking assurance. I want to know. Swear to me. Saving faith is active. Does things. Saving faith has a point of reference. Put this by your
window, that I'll see it when I come.
Everybody will see it,
but they don't know what it means.
Everybody will see your life,
but they don't know what it means.
Don't know anything about the cross. Don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Don't know anything about the scriptures. Don't know. But you know. Point of reference.
Lastly, saving faith is demonstrated by practical obedience. Practical, I say, not perfect. Practical obedience. Principle obedience. Principle. Just obedience to the word of God, spoken, written. Let me say something quickly. Believers do not try to obey the Savior. Trying is laborious. The way of transgressors is hard. We have a renewed desire and a will to obey. Obedience is not hard. It is the way of transgressors that is hard. Believers know they have a Savior who can take their failures to the throne of grace. They know that. But don't say, I mean, I'm trying. You need to quit trying. A believer doesn't try anything because he has a nature. He doesn't have to try. He quit. He quit trying a long time ago when he went to the cross. His trying failed him. But don't tell me I'm trying. You wouldn't make it trying. You'll fail. We see here this on two counts. This principle obedience, verse 21. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she wound the scarlet line in the window. The woman did a wonderful thing. She trusted in the word spoken by the two men. She put their words into practice. This is what faith is. She hung the rope in the window. Faith hears the word of God and does what the word of God says. There is no truth in a person's profession of faith if they hear the word of God and refuse to put the word into practice. This is simple. This is how unbelievers act, but not the transformed heart. She put what she heard into practice. Notice that Rahab's faith was not expressed in the presence of the two spies by their absence. You see that? The text says, and she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Many people today are eye servants. They obey when others are around, when they're looking. But when they are alone by themselves, anything goes. And Paul said, you remember this verse, therefore, my beloved, as you have obeyed not, as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works in us that we can obey him. Yes. Believe in faith. Believe God's promises. First, Rahab did what she was instructed to do. But second, let us not forget this. The two spies did what Rahab instructed them to do. Principle obedience. Verse 22. And they went and came onto the mountain and abode 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. The two spies did
what they were told by Rahab. You and I wouldn't want to take instructions from another believer. At times, great men has to take advice from common people whose lives were once marred. Many think their high office to be exempt from taking advice from ordinary people. At times, we must follow the instructions of those people on the ground. Rahab gave this counsel in verse 16. She said to them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way." So the two men did what Rahab did. And the last two verses says, "Two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said to Joshua," this is completely different than the 10 spies that went to spy out the land of Canaan. "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." Where did she get this from? They get this from Rahab. That's what she said. Wow. They listened to her. Therefore, in conclusion, I say this. Since saving faith will seek assurance, where are you finding assurance? The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." For God's word to find entrance, we must read it. We must hear it. Has the word of God found entrance in your soul? So where's the assurance? Has God's word found assurance in your soul, in your heart? I know it goes into your head. Has it entered your soul? I don't know. For if it has entered your soul, you ought to be seeing the light of grace. You ought to be seeing. That light will reflect a change in the way you are living, in how you are worshiping God. But the word must find entrance. It gives understanding to the simple, like me and you. Understanding God's word and his way. The other application you and I can draw from this message is saving faith is active. What actions do you and I express that salvation is real? What actions? Late in church all the time? Sporadic? No, you see me, no, you don't. What kind of action is that? Rahab was a helper in the gospel cause. It's often the little things we do that help advance the gospel, letting down the spies by a cord. But they can come back. Moreover, Rahab had a point of reference ordained by those who brought the message, the scarlet thread in her window. A mark of identity that she belonged to Christ. Today, believers do not have a cord hanging out their house. They have a life. Our reference point is the cross. We go there, we stay there. We are sprinkled by the blood of the cross. Hebrews 12:24. We have come to the mediator of the new covenant, unto the blood of sprinkling,
speak of better things than that of Abel. You don't see these things. But if the blood is applied to your heart, life would be seen. Identity. But saving faith is demonstrated by principled obedience to the spoken word. Principled obedience, not perfect obedience. We believe in the principles of the church that is set forth to us as different, as the called out in this world. Come on. Stop fooling yourself. You can't fool me. Joshua chapter 2 is historical in nature. But it tells the old story of Jesus and his love. And if Rahab can be saved by grace, it means that no one is out of God's riches. No one. The marvelous grace of our loving God, who stooped to save a harlot. You and I think a little too much of yourself. Too much of yourself. But every time you read of this woman, it should remind us who you are. Harlot. It's the only way you'll find mercy. It's when you see who you really are. You're selling yourself for this woman. The lowest sinner, it's one of my favorite Bible personalities. One of the first messages I preach in Africa. Don't know anything. They asked me to get up and preach. Saturu. By faith. Rahab the harlot perish not with them that believe not, because she received the gospel. Not despise the gospel with peace. So, I hope you seek assurance. I hope your faith that is one that is active. I hope your faith has a biblical point of reference that you can point to the scriptures. I hope your faith demonstrates principle obedience for the present. Let's pray.
Amen.
We can only share, O Lord, what you have laid on our hearts. It's entirely up to you, O God, to take what is said. Minister grace, O Lord. Pray that you again will dismiss any word, any thought, any deed that is contrary to your words, but that you will bless the word of God. Pray that you will give us no rest, none whatsoever, till we have found our rest in thee. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.